The message you're about to hear is part of the ministry of Great Falls Christian Center in Great Falls, Montana. Sit back, relax, and we pray that you hear from God.
All right, turn your Bible to Ephesians. It's interesting, we just finished doing a series on Ephesians, and I'm going to come back to it today. This is the last message in the series, Square One, where these are the foundational messages. If you need a Bible, go ahead and raise your hand. Let me explain again how this Square One works, and so you know kind of the process. What we have every Sunday, every service, we have people make commitments to the Lord. Some of them first time commitment, they get saved. Some of them are coming back to the Lord. And we've been talking among the pastors and elders, how can we be more effective in helping those people to walk in the commitments they've made? And so what we decided we would do is we would have these four messages, and then when people make commitments, we ask them to come down, we take them with a team into another room, and we ask, this is the way it works. If you bring a friend or if you have a friend that comes down, you come and stand with them. You just get up and come and join them. You be the square one friend, all right? Everybody say square one friend. All right. So you come down, you stand with them, and then go back with them. And then we're going to encourage them for the next 4 weeks to go through these four classes. And there's a variety of ways they can do it. They're online. They're also, we're going to give them on Sunday morning live. And you go through it with them as their friend. Now, if you go to our website, there's a 22-minute training video that Pastor Nate and Pastor Lee have put together to help you to know how to do this. So if you're going to work in the altar, that's the training you need. It's about 22 minutes. It will really help you to give you some insight on how to help someone in the new faith. How many have never got? Well, you don't have to raise your hand for that. But the statistically, about 90% of Christians have never led anybody to the Lord. And most people have never really been involved in discipling anybody. And there's no better way to grow than to help somebody else. And so I really encourage you, be a friend to someone and go through it with them. We have others that will be trained, they'll be ready. If there's nobody available, they'll stand with them. But I just think what a better thing you can do as a friend to be with them in this journey to grow and get founded in the faith. Amen? And so that's what we're doing. And this is the last message today. This will be the last message in this series. All right, now let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 22. By the way, if you have any other questions about this, ask Pastor Nate or Pastor Lee, because they're both really smart. All right. Ephesians 1. You shouldn't laugh over this. Actually, are both really smart. All right. Ephesians 1:22. God placed all things under His feet, speaking of Jesus, appointing Him to be head over everything for the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills everything in every way. God placed everything under His feet, under Jesus. In other words, He is the authority over the church, which is His body, which He fills everything, what He does everything through His body. Chapter 2, verse 19. Chapter 2, verse 19. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people, and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus Himself as the chief cornerstone. In Him, in Christ, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in Him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by His Spirit. So this is a picture of God building. First, He says we're the body, now we're a building being built together to become one in Him and to really represent. We're the dwelling place of God. The temple in the Old Testament was the dwelling place of God. Now, the people of God are the dwelling place of God. And then chapter 3, verse 10, His intent, God's intent, was that now through the church, everybody say through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms according to His eternal purpose which He accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. And verse 20 says this, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that's at work within us, to him be glory in the church." Everybody say that again. In the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Let's stand. Let's pray together. And we're going to talk about in the church. We're going to talk about how to be connected, what the church is, and why we need to be connected to us. This is so important and so foundational, our walk with God. So put your hand on your heart, on your mind. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, this morning, I open my heart and my mind to you. I pray that you speak to me, teach me, and reveal yourself to me. Help me to receive and walk in what you have for me today. Thank you, Jesus. Father, as we've prayed for open hearts and open minds, God, I pray now that you would use me to speak your word to your people in a way that brings life. God, I pray that you'd anoint my words and my thoughts. I pray you'd anoint this time. God, you understand the condition of every heart here, of each person. Lord, you know the circumstances. You know even the life experiences they've had. And so, God, I pray that you help each of us to be more founded on truth and to be established in principles and truth that builds life in us. God, give me grace now to do your will. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead and be seated. Matthew 16:18, Jesus is speaking to Peter, and he said, "Now I say to you that you're Peter." He's just asking, he says, "Who do you think I am?" And Peter, says, "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." He has this revelation. He says, "Now I say you're Peter, and upon this rock, I'm going to build my church." Not the rock of Peter, and that's a kind of a misunderstanding, but he says the rock of the church, of the rock of this revelation of who I am. He said, "I'm going to build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it." The picture in the Bible of the church is powerful. When I was growing up, being a part of the church almost was, to a young man anyway, it had a sense almost of weakness. Like we just, we're trying to get by, and we want to, I'm a Christian, so I can't do that. No, I can't do that either. Darn, I'd sure like to do that, but I can't do that. Come on, anybody else? No one. And, I go to church, and I know these people are a little odd, and they do kind of strange things, but this is my church, and I'm a Christian. And it was kind of that sort of sense, not a sense of an army or something powerful, but the Bible teaches that it's very full, that it's amazing what God's doing. That Jesus said, "I'm going to build my church, and hell itself can't stand against it." That it's the force of God to break down the gates of hell. Amen? I'm glad to be part of that church. And that's God's heart. This what we saw this morning, people being baptized, is deep in the heart of God. Their lives are being transformed. People being set free and renewed and restored and rebuilt. How many need a little rebuilding in your life? All right? And so God does that, and he uses the church to do that. In Ephesians 1:23, "The church is Christ's body in which he speaks and acts, and by which he fills everything with his presence." Ephesians 3:10 and 11, "God's purpose in all this is to use the church to display his wisdom in its rich variety to all the unseen rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was his eternal plan, which he carried out through Christ Jesus our Lord." Listen, the church is what God's doing on the earth. Amen? This, God has no other alternative plan. The church isn't just the best thing going on. It's really the only thing going on. This is what God is using. It's the people of God. God taking a people of all kinds of background and diversity and weaknesses, putting them together and making them his body and his family. I there's a number of things, the army of God, the flock of God, but two things I just want to briefly talk about, that we're the family. Isn't that how many glad you're part of a family? I was with one of the small groups. I had a dinner, and they graciously invited myself over to the Gaudetuses. That was Thank you. I got up this morning and I was just grateful for that. You were really a good hostess. You were hostess with the mostest. But somebody made a comment there and they said this. They said something like this. They said, you know, I've had lots of acquaintances in my life. But I said, I don't know that I've understood what real friendship is until I got to be a part of this group. He said, now I have friends. You realize that's the church? That's what God wants. That's God wants us to be connected. Psalm 68 says God sets us solitary in families. And so one of the really powerful things God does, when you're born again, you're born into a family. And that family nurtures you and cares for you and gives you responsibility. How many, the Bania family, we have 11 children. How many think some of those kids had to wash some dishes? Amen. And other things. I've watched they're all very hard workers because they had to learn to take responsibility. What a gift to them in life, because now they know how to take responsibility in life. And that's what the church is. The church is a family, and we certainly need that. And I believe God wants even more of that in life. And we're going to talk about even how to embrace that, how to make that a part of your life. The second thing though that the Scripture says is that the church is a body. It's the body of Jesus. It's the body of Christ. It's really Jesus in the flesh on the earth. That's how he functions. That's how he does the things he does on the earth. And we need each other. I was thinking, I was driving to church, and often God will speak to me something on the way. And I just thought of the pituitary gland. How many have ever heard that term, pituitary gland? So I couldn't get the printer to write. And so I just copied down some things that the pituitary gland does. It's about the size of a pea. Okay, little tiny, tiny gland. And it's at the base. It's not really part of the brain. It's at the base of the brain. How many? Everybody say, you are just so smart, Pastor. It's not actually true, but Wikipedia is. Anyway, so, but it weighs about 0.18 ounces. So it's just this little tiny thing, and it has huge implications to the body. Now, I want you, because the Bible really uses this term about the body. That's probably the preeminent illustration of the church. It's a body. Now you are the body of Christ. Corinthians says that. And each one of you is a member in particular. So the picture the Bible gives is that every one of you, God desires to make you, when you're born again, then you're a part of his body and you have function. You have things to do. That's why one passage says in Corinthians says, you know, the eye can't say to the ear, I don't need you. We need each other. So let's take this little pituitary gland. And one of the things it does, and probably most of you know this, that it affects your growth, your physical growth. And people that have like giantism, you know, like Andre the Giant. Remember him? He was, somebody said your favorite movie was Princess Bride. Andre the Giant was in that. And it's because something malfunctioned in his pituitary gland, and it caused an enormous difference in his physical being and his life. But listen to what else it does. This blew me away. It affects your growth, your blood pressure. Pregnancy and childbirth are affected by this. Again, the size of a pea, little tiny gland here at the base of your neck. Milk production for mothers after they have their babies. Sexual function in male and female. How many want a good pituitary gland? Okay. Thyroid function, metabolism, your energy level, water regulation. If you tend to retain you understand what I'm talking about with that. So that's part of it. But your pituitary, your kidneys, your temperature regulation. This is a little bit the older service. Anybody ever heard of the term hot flash? Okay, pituitary, temperature regulation, pain relief. Now all that comes out of a little tiny gland, just about that big at the base of your skull, and it affects all those things in your body. Here's what I want you to see. You need each other. And there are things that maybe your function is to be the thumb or a finger or something, And there are things in you that affect you that you have no idea that they're making an effect on your life. Is that right? And in the same way, in the church, you need each other. There's really a supernatural quality to this. You know, family, I love the family. I love the family of God. I love the church as a family. I like the fellowship and the relationship and the support and the encouragement and the chasing, all those things that family bring. But there's also something of real necessity. I need you and you need me. Amen? We need each other. I have never... last week I talked on water baptism, and I said that I have never seen a Christian who is not water baptized have a consistent walk with God. By the way, I'll stand by that. I've never seen that. I also have never seen a Christian have a whole walk with God, one with maturity and substance, who was not well connected to a local church. You did, just think about it. You can't expect your natural body to grow in a right way if it's not connected to the rest of the body. You all need your pituitary gland, even though you can't see it. Most of you can't even pronounce it. You can't. In fact, I wasn't sure I could spell it, but I sure need it. And if it doesn't work, it affects all those things in me. Just one little. Now, we have tons of those things in our body, and everyone's essential. Much of what we don't see or aren't even aware of the function in it. And so you will not grow properly. You won't grow. You won't become and fulfill your destiny in God. The church is so crucial to what you are as a Christian. And I hear people say, you know, you don't have to go to church to be a Christian. That's true. Because you get saved because of what Jesus did and your belief in Him. But you'll never grow up as a Christian without the church. And in American culture in particular, there are thousands, possibly millions of Christians who are not well connected to a local church. And honestly, I think that's one of the reasons why we have so much nonsense in the body of Christ today. Is because there's just not the connection. And we get, you know, there's all kinds of reasons for that. Somebody says something, you don't like it, and so what do? You say, well, fine, I don't need you, I'm out of here. Well, tell that to your pituitary gland. I don't need you, I'm out of here. Okay, grow into a giant. You know, have all those other things not work. Have a hot flash, whatever. do you get this picture, how essential what we have is to each other. We need each other. God designed it that way. He placed us together because of our need for each other. Now, this isn't the only church. There are other great churches in this city. But where God wants you to be, you need to be there and be there all the way. Amen? All right, let me give you two thoughts, and then we're going to talk about how to connect the church. First of all, God places you in the local church. He places you in the church. Psalm 68:6. God places, everybody say places, places the lonely in families. 1 Corinthians 12:18. God made our bodies with many parts, and He's put each part just where He wants it. And so, you know, maybe you're the pituitary gland. And God says, Jack Sand, you're the pituitary gland of Great Falls Christian Center. You better be there. And you better be squirting your juices out so the rest of the body can work. Sorry, Jack. We'll let you be the brain next week, okay? But whatever your function is, you need to give it. And you also need the functions of the other parts of the body. And God says, I need, for this body, I'm going to need Lonnie Oakland. I'm going to need Nick Schwall, and I'm going to put these people, Jack, and I'm going to put them together, and then it's going to be full and complete. And honestly, I believe, you know, that we're in a place of growth right now. Good things are happening in the church. You know why? I think the different parts of the body are doing what they're supposed to do. It's not just because I'm doing something. A lot of it has nothing to do with me. I don't even know some of the people getting water baptized, but it's because the body is doing its function. And so where you belong, God places you, and you need to be there. Can you say amen to that? All right? it's God's choice. Don't you just love it when God chooses for you? God, we're so independent. We want our own decision. You don't get to choose. Did you know that? You don't get to choose. God chooses. He says, this is where you belong. And when you find that place and you lock in, then there's peace and there's joy. Things are right in your life, all right? The second part of that is wherever God places you, you're supposed to be there all the way. All right? Let's read that scripture. God wants you fully connected. 2 Chronicles 31:21 says, in everything that he, speaking of King Hezekiah, one of the good kings, undertook in the service of the Lord's of God's temple, that would be, again, the church in the Old Testament, in obedience to the law and the commands, he sought his God and he worked wholeheartedly. And so he prospered. So he makes a statement about one of the best kings in the Bible. It says, in everything that he did in connection to the body, to the church, because that's what the temple was in the Old Testament. He said, he sought the Lord. How many think that's a good thing to do? And he gave himself wholeheartedly to it. And because he did that, he prospered. That's pretty simple, isn't it? You need to take who you are and give it fully to the work of the Lord in the place where God has placed you. This is not an optional thing. Well, you know, I'm not really into that church stuff. I don't care. God doesn't care. That's how he designed things to work. And you won't prosper. How many want to prosper? What do the rest of what you want to do? Come on. How many of you want to prosper? All of us want to. I mean, prosperity is not just having money. It's having a good life and connecting, having your family work and your life work and all that. This is the secret to that. Is that you let God connect you where you're supposed to be, and then you give yourself fully to it, and you'll prosper. Amen? And so, by the way, you may have a tough time, but you'll still prosper. So God has a place for you, and then God wants you fully connected. Can you all say amen to that? All right, that's the foundation of what I want to share now concerning this this idea of the church and how do you get connected. Again, these videos are going to be used for people that are new. This is all, really? I'm supposed to do this? Yes, you are. If you're watching the video, yes, you are. Everybody nod your head. Yes, you are. And turn around, look at the camera. Everybody turn around, look at the camera and say, you need to do this. Okay, now they know. All right. So how do you do it? Well, first thing you do is you give yourself to the Lord. I mean, that's the beginning of every commitment. When we do Commitment Sunday, we bring people up and they make a commitment to this church as their church home. And we say, based on your commitment to Christ. In Corinthians, go ahead and put the scripture up. In Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 8, verse 1 through 5, it says, out of the most severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. These people, is talking about the giving that they did. But it says they did it. They gave as much as they were able, even beyond their ability. That's pretty exciting. They did more than they could. They did more than was possible. And they did not do as we expected. They gave themselves first to the Lord and then to us in keeping with God's will. That's really the key to this. You know, just because, well, I like Great Falls Christian Center and I'm just committed to Great Falls Christian Center and I'm... You're giving yourself to Jesus. That's the important thing. And because of that, then you connect to his body. So you really always keep that in your mind. And by the way, if you move, if you're in the military and God moves you to another city, find a place there to connect. Don't say, well, it was Great Falls Christian Center. Find a place that God has. God has a place for you there, and you find it and you really connect. Now, you can stay here, too. We really like that. But, all right, anyway. You could stay here. I like that. So, number one, give yourself first to the Lord. Number two, invest your grace. We're talking about how you get connected. This is basic stuff. I actually preach this all the time whenever we talk about the church. Take your grace is how God formed you. The gifting in your life. the uniqueness of you. Some of it's supernatural. There are spiritual gifts. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it talks about the gift of prophecy and the gift of miracles and healings and wisdom, and certainly use those. Romans chapter 12 talks about other gifts, a gift of giving, a gift of leadership. Whatever God is, how He's ever uniquely formed you, invest that in the house where God's called you to. I just love seeing Hannah on the videos. So how many would agree with that? I promise you, I'm not going to get up on that bus and do an announcement. In fact, we'd need a crane to get me off. We'd need a crane to get me up there, actually. But there's just a unique grace in Hannah to make you want to do whatever the church is doing. You just go, yeah, she's excited, so am I. What are we doing? I don't know, but look at how much fun it's going to be. See, what's she doing? She's taking the way God uniquely formed her, and she's using it for the Lord. Now, she does it a lot of other ways, too, but that's when we see a lot, and we go, that just works. It works because it's the way God made her. And some of us should never do that. We're not made that way. But, I mean, the pituitary gland should not be trying to pick up stuff. Doesn't have any fingers, all right? You know? But it needs to secrete the endocrines that it needs to. If you're a medical person, which we have a lot of them in the church, please just give me grace, all right? You guys get the picture of what I'm talking about? So you need to give what you are, how God made you. Go ahead and put the scripture up. Ephesians 2:10 says, we, all of us, are God's masterpiece. It's actually written on the wall over there. He created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things that He planned for us long ago. So we are uniquely formed by God, and it's a masterpiece of creation. I'm excited as we enter in this building phase of the giving, and we're gonna actually double our sanctuary. We're gonna add a whole wing for children's ministry. I really think God's gonna help us get this done and done well. Without disrupting the church, which is a miracle. I mean, it's gonna make a mess around here for a while. But one of the things that's gonna help is there's so many people here that have things to give to that. And I'm not just talking about money. They have wisdom and abilities. But it's in all kinds of arenas. When people come forward and people pray, there are some of you who are so gifted with nurturing and caring and helping somebody in their walk with God. More than you even realize. Some of you, God wants to stretch you beyond what you've done in the past and take you into new arenas of service. But purpose to give what grace you have. Go ahead and put, I think there's another scripture. Romans 15:2, each of us needs to look out after the good of the people around us, asking ourselves, how can I help? How can I help? What's in me that I can give? Nick Schwall is a worker, a helper. He has like this major grace to get stuff done. And so he gives it in all kinds of ways. Many that you don't even know about. He said, kind of like that pituitary gland, just squirting that stuff out. Nobody even knows about it, all right? But it doesn't work if he doesn't. What all do you clean? You don't clean anymore? What do you do? I'm kidding. What do you do?
A lot of youth stuff.
He does a lot of youth stuff. Right. He used to clean a lot of stuff. But I just know this. Whenever there's a project comes up, everybody says, well, I want Nick. I want Nick on my team. Why? Because he gives his grace. Do you see that? You give who you are. And when people begin to step up, Aaron Simon has been put in to help Steve with the sketch and the youth ministry. And the youth ministry is growing. A lot of it's because you've been faithful to give your portion. And there's all kinds of people I don't even know about that are doing stuff, stepping up, cooking meals, help visiting people, calling people. This small girl, I was so impressed with this testimony last night of you guys have been a friend. You've taught me friendship. I wasn't aware of that, but I was pretty blessed by it, pretty encouraged by it. So give your grace. Can you say amen to that? All right, number two, invest your treasure. That's your money, your substance, all right? Malachi 3:10, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty. See if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough to contain it. God has an economic system for the church where each person is to give 10% of their increase, and then the house is blessed. And American Christians, about 8% of them tithe. Isn't that horrible? And this church is way higher than that, and we're blessed. Heather, who gives her grace and does our finances and our books and all that stuff, she's just made, man, she gives me such peace because it's done right, and we know where everything's balanced and everything's paid and taken care of. She said, wouldn't it be cool if everybody in our church tithe? We could do almost anything. Well, think about that. Well, yeah, I know I probably should, honey, but no, you need to give your portion. That's how you connect. I think I got another scripture with that. Go ahead and put that up. Luke 12:34. Wherever your treasure is, listen, wherever your treasure is, there your heart and your thoughts will also be. It's a principle in God. When you invest your money into something, your heart's in it. If you don't invest into it, then it doesn't really matter. One of the things, when we did our marriage seminar, we charged for it. Now, we wanted to keep it as low as we could, and we gave scholarships where necessary because we wanted people to be able to come. But something about when you pay a little for something, you say, you know what, this is important. I paid for this. And so something happens, and so you need to invest your treasure. Amen? We're talking about connecting. Next, please. Luke, in the Message Bible, says, isn't it obvious? The place where your treasure is the place you will most want to be and end up being. Those people in the meeting yesterday that just spontaneously, really, one person said, I told Pastor Nate, said, I'll give $1,000, and I've challenged some of these other guys to give, and just people just start giving money. It was just, honestly, it's kind of overwhelming to watch that. It wasn't like we're going to collect it all now. We do that, but it's just kind of like a faith response. Those people already are into what we're going to do. And they're going to be thinking about the building. They're going to be praying about the building. They're going to be doing the other stuff that's going to be necessary to make that building happen because they invested even their natural treasure. All right? So invest your treasure. Number four, invest your prayers. We're talking about how do you connect to church? You can do this. You can do this for years. You can come every Sunday, find your seat, and you all sit in the same seats. You do. It's just amazing to me. CJ, I think the world would stop if you ever sat any place different. I've never, unless I make you, every now and then I'll make you all move around and you all go, yeah. But you just have Larry and Kathy, you just came. You went away for a while and came back and found the same seat again. Over there. You made somebody. Somebody took it. Go figure that one out. How dare you? I don't even know how I got on that. My pituitary gland just shut down or something. I really don't know how I got on that, but let's move on here. You need to invest your prayers, all right? When you pray for people, they get in your heart. When you pray for the church, it gets in your heart. Go ahead and put the Philippians 1:7 says, it's right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. I have... I'll give you a little testimony. I think I even shared this a few weeks ago. Through Compassion International, we've had a girl that we support, as I know a number of you do. And we've had two. The first one got kicked out of the program. And we felt bad about that. We get the little letters. And actually, Cindy would write and send a picture to the family. I just would look at the deal and I'd pay the bill. And about a year and a half, maybe 2 years ago, I felt like the Lord said, I want you to pray for this girl. We've got a new girl, and I want you to pray for her. And when I do my devotions in the morning, that's when I pray for her. Patricia Najeri is her name. I think I'm pronouncing it right. And I've been praying, God, somehow use her to change her nation. She's from Nairobi. And I said, God, just... And I find myself really praying a lot for her, thinking about her. I've never written her. In fact, I've got it in my office. I want to write her a letter, and I'm terrible at that. Cindy's way better at that than I am. But I pray for almost every day. I pray for Patricia. And just recently, we got a letter back, and she'd gone on a mission with her people, and she'd made a difference. And she said there were healings. And so I know it's more than just not little Christian school. She said, God wonderfully moved. And then we got a new picture of her. And I'm thinking, this girl's going to change her name. She's gonna radically transform. She's in my heart now. Do you see that? Because I've been praying for her. And before, it was a responsibility. I wrote the checks. But that didn't... Praying for her just got her in there. And I can see her new picture. I can have a mental picture of that in my mind. And I'm just thinking about, what can she do for that nation? I'm thinking, man, she may start a movement there. Maybe she'll get, you know, how's God? She's in there all the time. I'll wake up sometimes in the morning and pray for Patricia. Now, she doesn't have a clue who I am. I've never had any communication. But just the act of praying for her has put her deep in my heart. Amen? And so pray for your church. Pray for the people in your church. Pray for your brothers and sisters and people in your small group. That connects you. All right, next, please. Invest your prayers. Number five, give yourself to fellowship. Give yourself to fellowship. Don't just wait for fellowship. Say, this is important. You need to actually be with people. And you need to hang out. You need to spend time together. This group that we got to go, we were graciously invited. They're not my group. I've been there once or twice before, but you could tell just by the way they interacted that they were used to being together. They're friends. And because they've given themselves to that, and they get together, they pray for each other, they probably share personal things that they're going through or problems. They're all closer to my age. That'd be a good group for me, actually. But they have similar things. They have grandkids, and they share the burdens with that. They talk about that. We need that. Let's look at the scripture. Acts 2:42-47. They committed themselves to the teaching of the apostles. This is the beginning of the church. Remember, I said last week. I said Jesus commands it in the Gospels. It's explained in the epistles, but it's demonstrated or shown the way it actually happens in the Acts, in the book of Acts. And this is it. They're starting the church. He says they committed themselves to the teaching of the apostles, the life together, the common meal, and the prayers. And all the believers lived in a wonderful harmony, holding everything in common. Now, I've actually seen Christians. I got started to serve the Lord during kind of the hippie movement, and there was all these Christian communes and stuff. Those didn't work very well. They actually end up breaking up. But it's the principle that we're in this together that's important. Not that we have to live together. Thank you, Jesus. But we... I've just been there, done that. It didn't work out very well for people. I had a group of friends. They're going to have a common checkbook. Everybody bring their money in. You know, we're young, going to try things out. How many can just see that heading for disaster right away? Because you're going to spend what on what? You know. All right. So anyway, but the life together, the common meal, and the prayers. All the believers lived in a wonderful harmony, holding everything in common. Meals at home, meals at a celebration. Exuberant and joyful as they praise God. People in general like what they saw. Every day their number grew as God added those who were being saved. I'm telling you, our small group ministry is the life of this church. You need to be connected. You need a group of people that you have life flow with. And there's a couple ways that it happens on teams. When you, as a team, when you begin to labor together, Cindy talks about her women's ministry team. I just saw Manny, made me think of that. And that's a lifeline for her personally, not just to get stuff done, but the connection. And she often talks about how wonderful, how much she enjoys that team. People on the worship team, they begin to form connections. People that are maybe the ushers, and they get together. Whatever, when you labor together, it builds you. Is that true? You're working together. And so, but then also just small groups that on a regular basis, and we have, 40 or so in the church, 39, 40. And when they spend time together, I went, I think it was Wednesday night, I came down. Two little girls came up to my office. One was my granddaughter. And they said, they take advantage of me. They said, do you have any food? And I said, well, I got some caramel corn. I was sort of saving for a day that I wanted some caramel corn to eat. And so I gave it to them. I gave it to Katie and another little girl. And I said, what are you doing here? And they said, well, we're here for our small group. Small group? I said, yeah. So when I left, I came down and in our conference room, here's like 15 teenage girls sitting around a table with Bibles and notebooks, and the board is just covered with all kinds of writing, and it's Molly's small group. Molly, raise your hand. Stand up. Let's give Molly a hand. She is a fantastic small group leader. She wasn't even in the room. In fact, I have no idea where you were, and don't ever do that again. But they were connected because of your leadership, but also the relationship, and you could just tell they liked being there. You can be in a gathering, you can sense a spirit, and there was a spirit of joy and happiness because they were together. God designed us to be together, all right? And so that's the church in action. And all those kids, their hearts are connected more to the church because of this small group. And in fact, one of the goals in our youth ministry is to take these kids and not just connect them to the youth ministry, but to connect them to the church at large. And in fact, we'd encourage you, go visit some of the sketch some night. Just go stop by and take your earplugs and just go in there and have a good time with them. Actually, you'll be blessed. You'll be blessed. But there's something about that connection that's just so important. They ate together a lot. It's real natural. It's not like we had this supernatural meeting. Last night when we were having dinner, that wasn't, it was pretty supernaturally good. But there was nothing, we wasn't particularly spiritual. And we played a game that was rigged so that I would win. And Bob, I feel we didn't do so well, buddy. But you know what? What it was is there was a connection that's just really important. You need to give yourself to fellowship. All right? You have to choose to do that. And go ahead and put the next up here. Number 6, and this relates to it. Commit to unity. What that means is commit to keeping your hearts right towards each other. Go ahead and put the scripture up. Ephesians 4:3 says, make every effort. Everybody say effort. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Do I have another scripture? Romans 14:19. So then, let it aim for harmony. You understand what harmony is in music, where you're singing together, same notes, same tune, same song. All right? Work for that. How many know it's hard to get along with people? Particularly people that are different from you. And you have to make an effort. And a lot of you like to not be around people because then you don't have to make any adaptations. You know, alone, you can be whatever you want. You just be a legend in your own mind. But when you're, as soon as you're around people, you have to act different. I mean, we had to eat different at the table last night. Sharon told us how to sit. Wow, that was a new one for me. She said it's going to be man, woman, man, woman, man, woman. So I'm not sitting next to my wife. I'm sitting next to two other women. And so that's not the way I do it at my house. And that's just the way it goes. And actually, it was really fun. I got to talk to Jackie, and I visited, and I probably might not have got to visit. Cindy probably would have visited if we'd been sitting together. And so that was really good. And Sherilyn Taylor was on the other side, so I got these two ladies and just visited back and forth. And I had to do it different. Everybody say different. Than I would normally do it because I'm with other people, and that's good. See, you have to work at that unity. Now I can say, no, we don't do that at my house. We don't eat that way. They eat very healthy. We don't. We start out with avocado, and then we had fish with mango and purple stuff and green stuff. Asparagus. We had, yeah. What was the green stuff? I never did figure out what that was. It was really good, but it was way different than I would normally eat. All right. And then we had a non-alcoholic rum cake. I don't know. We had this cake. Was it or pineapple cake? Whatever it was really good. Everything was wonderful, but it was different than we would do it maybe at my house. And I had to make some adaptions. I couldn't say, no, I want this. I don't eat that. Have you ever been with kids and they say, I don't like that. I don't like. You don't do that when you're with other people. You have to eat what they're serving. By the way, it was fabulous. It was an amazing dinner. And so you have to work at unity. All right, that's what I go ahead and put. Go back to that. Let me just give you a couple principles on this. You have to deal with offenses. Now, I'm not going to teach on this today. I have in the past. There's messages online you can get. We'll do it in the future. But you will get offended. The Bible says it's impossible that offenses don't come. So you're more than likely, if you're here for any length of time, somebody somehow is going to tick you off. And a good chance it'll be me. And you have to work through it. Not just swallow it, not just tough it out, but actually go talk it through with that person. That's what Jesus taught. If a brother offends you, go to him alone, tell him your fault, and so that you may gain a brother, Matthew 18. So you have to work at offenses. And a lot of you, I'm not going to say a lot of you, many of you, my experience is many Christians, what they do when they get offended is they just stuff it. And then they stuff the next one, and they stuff the next one. And then one day an offense, and often it's a pretty minor offense, comes, and they just stuff too much in there. It's sort of like spring-loading something, right? And then, and you go, you don't want to wash the window? And you think, well, where did that come from? And it came from somebody who didn't deal with it. You have to work in unity. When you don't understand something, in this church, if I say something, preach something, or do something you don't like, come and talk to me. No, don't come to me right after I'm done preaching and say, I didn't like that. Don't do that. In fact, never come with that attitude. But if something bothers you, come in and talk, and we'll dialogue about it. I have people do that. And a lot of times they're just misunderstandings. Or if it's not with me, it's with one of the other pastors or your small group leader or just the people in your small group. If you have, go talk it out. Gain a brother. Amen? Work in unity. That's the thing. And it's just so important. Deal with offenses. Be tolerant. Be kind. Just say, God, this is really important. Don't ever, listen to me, don't ever leave a church because somebody ticked you off. Because you lose big time. The church loses too, because you may be the pituitary gland. But if I take that pituitary gland out and set it over here because it's got an attitude, it will die. I'm not sure about this, but I think I can still live without it. But it sure can't live without the rest of me. Amen? Say amen again. Amen. All right. And one last thing. Give your heart. That's really the core issue. Give your heart. Put the scripture up. Acts 4:32. All the believers were of one heart and one mind. Go ahead and put the next scripture up there. Is there another scripture? Nope, there isn't. All right. So here's the bottom line. God places you in the body. And if you want to be connected, you choose to give your heart. If you get offended, go deal with it. But this is mine. I gave Cindy my heart. 40 years ago, I said, I do. We connected. And we are connected for the rest of our lives. And she has my heart. Sometimes I make her mad. I don't know why. I mean, I'm just really close to perfect. But sometimes I do. Sometimes I'm very frustrating to her. And sometimes it's possible she might frustrate me. How'd I do, guys? Those are slippery slopes when you get on them. But under all that is a commitment to one another. And so we work through stuff. And we give our hearts, because we gave our hearts. Give your heart. So these are my people. I may be mad at everybody in the church, but it's my church. Do you get that? This is really what's going on. This is my place. This is, and I'm going to work with it. I'm going to talk it through. I'm not going to let my heart get distant, because this is where God placed me, and I want to give my whole heart. Can you say amen to that? Let's bow our heads. Father, help us in this. Lord, we are. I'm just so grateful for the church. I'm grateful for this church, and God, that I get to be a part of it. Lord, what an amazing gift from you, that I get to spend my life connected to these people. And Lord, I pray that I would be a better member of your body in this church. God, I really ask that I would be better at what I'm called to do, and that I would give my heart in a better way. God, I pray for each of us here that, God, we really would not just hear this as a teaching, but God, we would see this even as an exhortation to fully give our heart, to keep things right and keep connected. God, that we could be the body that you've called us to be. Lord, when the whole body does its part, does all its work, then, Lord, we grow and build ourselves up in love. That's what your word says. And so help us in this. We ask this in Jesus' name. While your heads are bowed, I want to ask if there's anybody here that does not have a relationship with Christ. Either you're not born again, you've never given your heart to Jesus, and you may have come to church a long time, or maybe this is the first time you've been here, but you know that you're not right connected to God through Jesus. Or perhaps at one time you made a commitment, but you've never walked in it, or you've backed away from it, and you need to come back. We just have seen so many people, God restore them or give them a relationship with the Lord. These people getting baptized is really the fruit of all that. So if you're in that place where you need to get connected to God, you can't connect to the church until you're really connected to Him. And that's through Jesus. And you want that. I'm going to ask you to do this. I'm going to ask you, first of all, just to raise your hand. I want to pray for you. Pray with you. Is there anyone like that this morning? Okay. Anyone else? Make sure I see. I do see over here. Anybody else? Okay. Amen. It's exciting. Anyone else? All right, let's pray together. And we're going to pray a prayer of commitment. Lord Jesus, this morning, I give you my heart. I ask you to save me and forgive me for the sin in my life. I believe that Jesus died in my place to give me life. And I receive that. I believe that Jesus rose from the dead to give me eternal life. And I'm grateful for that. Help me to walk with you, to serve you all the days of my life. Thank you, Jesus.
The message you just heard is part of the ministry of Great Falls Christian Center. Additional sermon resources are available by calling us at 406-727-4849 or by visiting us on the web at gfcconline.com. Thanks again for listening.